Uthandwa ngendlela ongasokuze uyiqonde. Khetha iRadio Pulpit 657 AM. Luthando olo.
Me welcome Muruti Peter Mutsitela on the line. Muruti, good evening and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good evening, Dr. Mwabi. Always a pleasure for us to be with you, and greetings to the listeners. Thank you.
We are talking temperance this evening, and of course we'll start looking at the issue of wrath and anger. But if you can please define temperance for us, and of course looking at it within the context of relationships.
Yes. I think I want to begin from here. This is where I captured the word. You know, I usually, obviously, you check different translations, but I would more dwell on the, the old King James Version. So when we read from Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23, we find the fruit of the Spirit there. And it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. So this is why I captured the word temperance, and I checked on it, and I saw that, okay, other translations, instead of saying temperance, they use the word self-control. And now, before I could explain the word, I just wanted to express that when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you will see that all of them, nine of them, these, I can use the word, they are instruments for a good relationship. So they are relational attributes, all nine of them. And this means for me that the Holy Spirit, among other things, has come to give us an excellent way of relating with other people or with one another. And hence, these are very useful for relationships. And with no doubt, they are very helpful for any body who wants a healthy relationship. So temperance, when we check the word itself, it's self-control. That's in simpler way of saying it. But the word itself is of Latin origin. And what you find out of that word is that it is self-restraint, it's forbearance. So now you can see it becomes broader and it's richer to comprehend the word temperance, and obviously also moderation. Now, this is something that is worth pondering on, to realize that if you're going to go into a relationship, and I could go back to the fruit of the Spirit, but this is what I want to say. One of the most fundamental understanding, maybe it is for me, but I believe it should be for all of us, is that we should realize that when we enter into relationships, the most critical thing we are bringing into a relationship is our character. Regardless whether it is a bad character or is a good character, but what we are bringing into a relationship is a character. So if you want to do good, that means work on your character to make it an advantage for the relationship and to be useful or helpful. And temperance is one of the best attributes that if you are going to bring it into a relationship, you are definitely going to be finding yourself victorious.
I wanted to add something there as you started with the nine fruit of the Spirit. As yes, you know, sir, they are the key when it comes to us relating with other human beings. And of course, it says the fruit of the Spirit. So I was a little bit worried to come up and say, you know, it means that in order for us to have successful marriages, successful relationships, we need the Holy Spirit. But my concern is, what if I've summed up your whole presentation, I'll end up, alright, when say it's a mafuk. But it seems as if, you know, in order for us to become successful in whatever relationship we find ourselves in, we need him, right?
Yes, we do, 100%. And it isn't helpful to be practical in looking at Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, that instead of, you know, I know that they are spiritual, but instead of us being, I don't know what would be the right word, but, you know, like instead of churchianizing the concept, we should be realize that actually he has come for our day-to-day living, and to build the character that is required for us to have good relationships. So he's not
just for preaching, right?
For religious purposes, you know?
Not just for preaching and for what we call the work of the ministry.
Yeah, he's not just for church. He's really for our whole life, you know. If you look at your day-to-day life, he's not here for a Sunday, or he's not here just for a conference. He's seriously here even for a normal day like today, you know. And in a night like this, where couples are alone in the bedroom, he's needed there, but you should not be religious about his presence. You should realize that, no, his work, that's why they are even coined the fruit, meaning they are the outcome of what he has done in your character. And if truly we are going to be sincere and be truthful to say, I am spiritual, it means ever since the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, I have become a person with self-control, meaning it's a fruit. It's an evidence that, oh, this
does,
is
does
how.
This also mean, like you say, people might be together in bed, and they might realize that this. So does it mean that you can also help with, you know, matters of the bed?
Oh, secondly, look at one of them there is gentleness. Mm-hmm. You know, you see how an intimate relationship requires a lot of gentleness, you know. And you cannot dismiss the fact that if this is a fruit of the Spirit, then that means we don't need to think of him being involved in the matter. That's what he has done. Like I say, the best thing you are bringing into your marriage, or the strongest thing you are bringing into a relationship, especially a marriage, is your character. So now, and this is also how to see a need of maturity. When we say don't enter into marriage without being matured, then you realize that you will be the best person to actually bring you to that level of maturity.
You know what? I have to say this, and I hope I'm not going to be seen otherwise or to offend people. Well, what I normally do is, more especially when it comes to that area there, sometimes I pray and I'll say, please help me. I want to make this woman happy. Help me to make her happy, if you know what I mean.
I think it's being realistic with God. I think we seem to have separated God from reality. And yet he created us, you know. And maybe I want to be in the closet and make a prayer like that, you know, privately so. But then observe how he also then really helps you to go around, you know, the right ways and making right moves.
Hey,
you know?
I like it.
We are his creation, by the way.
I like the way you put it, Murut. At least I know I'm not alone here. If I'm in trouble at all, it's the two of us that will be in trouble. No, Murut, thank you very much for clarifying that one. We can continue, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. But you see, this is quite a very interesting attribute that I thought, you know, but this would really help. And it is very critical. I believe that I have been looking at this for quite a long time and from different angles. And before we can even go to its, you know, offshoots and how truly it helps, we find that actually in its, what is this, in its Anglo-French background, there are some very interesting implications of this word temperance. It also means sobriety, you know, to have a sober mind. So it means you can never, you know, do things well if you are not in a sober mind. But that's what temperance is about, you know, being able to say, look, I am in charge of my thoughts and I do a good job at processing my jobs. My thoughts and my actions are a true reflection of my thoughts. You know, there are people who still have to learn to think before they can act. They act before they think, you know, and then they will think after, what have I just done, you know? But temperance is actually about governing your thoughts, which governs your activities, your actions. And then you definitely do things that are well processed in mind, in your thoughts. And then it also includes discretion, meaning your ability to also process what is going on. If something is happening to you, you can really look at it and then, you know, process it and have that good discretion. How am I going to respond? Or do I even have to respond to this? Because some of the challenges is when you don't respond that you solve a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is, I thought, it's a good background for us to have an understanding when we're talking about this temperance, what are we really talking about? And you can also see it from a different angle. And maybe before I go even further, I would love to take it to another passage of scripture. This is one of the key scriptures I use in our schools of ministry or school of discipleship in terms of laying foundation, how we are going to go about dealing with each other, handling each other's mistakes, how we would make people realize, don't be surprised when you don't see us shouting or raising our voice or, you know, frowning at anybody. It doesn't mean we don't see your mistakes, you know. This is a scripture that seriously worked on me over the years. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. This is where temperance comes in. You are processing your mind. So you've listened, you are hearing, you are taking your time to apply your mind to what you are hearing, and then you are swift to hear. You know, it sharpens your hearing. As we know that good communication is a plus for a relationship. So, but then this is where it starts, with good hearing or good listening. And then the next line says, slow to speak. So there you see, it governs a proper means of communication. The last line, it then says, slow to rest. You know, be slow to anger. And then verse 20, it says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So let's put it in simple terms. Whenever you act out of anger, you are going to do evil. That's how simple it is. So there is no righteousness that can come out of anger. This is what James 1:20 is saying, bottom line. And if you are able to continually speak to yourself, anger does not work righteousness. Anger does not work righteousness. This is where you grow in temperance. And this is where you realize why I can become a person that is rare to be seen angry, you know, simply because you're working on yourself and your character. And, you know, good relationships favor people who are not angry. Okay. You know, anger is not, it's a deterrent from relationships, you know. When somebody's angry, the other one will decide, let me go, you know. This is how it works. But when anger is a rare thing, it also shows that actually anger is an emotion that we can actually get hold of it and overcome it ourselves. Wow. There's a possibility, it's possible.
It shouldn't control us.
Come again?
I'm saying it shouldn't control us.
Yes.
But many a times, Muruti, we try to justify that, more especially when we use that against the ones that we love. Otherwise, when it's your friend, you'll try to control it. But when it's your wife or when it's your husband or your children, you just let it go and all that. Maybe if you can look at that, you know, issue also. Because I remember how, I'm not saying I'm completely delivered from it, how I decided to be careful with regard to the, you know, speaking to the people that I love and not become angry and speak whatever that crosses my mind because I'm angry and they will understand. I read a piece of commentary from one of the translations, and they were saying that many a times when we are angry, we are careful, more especially with our friends. We are careful with the ways that we speak because we value the relationships. We don't want to say things that will end up destroying the relationship. But when it comes to the people that are close to us, that we are already in love with, we just feel like we can just say whatever that we can say and then destroy them and all that. So I decided, you know what, from now going forward, yeah, I might be angry and all that, but I will treat my wife the same way I will treat the people that I don't want to lose when I'm angry. I think sometimes there's an issue where I ke monaka o I can say whatever what tla go loko di rong ba go kopisitse mo once that anger ha mo moneng wa gago once anger ha mo mo sa dingwa gago once anger ha mo bane mo. How do you address that ones, those things? Yeah,
you know that I could really say it's like you were listening to my preparation just after speaking the way you have spoken, and which shows that we are in the same flow of thought. And because honestly, and this is also what helps in terms of, and I think you can now see why the topic temperance is quite critical, because there's also another reality. In all relationships, this thing called anger is actually unavoidable. It keeps on coming now and again. We are human beings. We make mistakes in each other's presence, in actually all types of relations, you know. It will crop up, you know. Be it even corporate relationships, it comes in, you know, at work, it comes in. And since this thing will continually keep on creeping into relationships, this is God's instrument or solution towards this monster called anger. And now, there's a phenomenon. Hebrew gives us a good understanding in terms of why is it that you can be able to control your anger, you know, with strangers, with people you are not relating to. And yet the person that you love the most or the dearest, you seem not to be able to control your anger more. And simply because the way Hebrew came up to explain the word wrath or anger, it used the word kema, and which comes from the same root word kama. And kama means heat or to be hot. And this heat comes from intimacy. So because this person is your intimate partner, the heat comes out, you know, when the anger comes out also. So that's the way I could understand why anger is somehow seemed to be quite harsh in a place where it shouldn't be, and yet, you know, quite polite, say, when it comes to strangers. But I don't mean that we should be, you know, angry with everybody. It's rather we should overcome it. Our biblical guide is Proverbs 15. Maybe before I go to Proverbs 15, you'll find Colossians that actually says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all evil speaking be put away. Meaning, okay, we have been given the ability to put it away. I think that some of you gave a practical example because you observed and then you decided, okay, I'm going to work away of putting it away when it comes to me and my wife, you know, which is something that really helps us when it comes to, I've got to be more extra cautious in my relationships because this thing of being temperate is critical. I've got to have it and I've got to be known with it in my relationship. And having said that, when we look at the practicality, you know, there are times when you or your spouse make a mistake, and then it will trigger, you know, a response. And this is what will help us to see that it looks like we never learned or we never observed how we respond to one another's mistakes. And then there's also another issue also is that it also seems like we have not separated major things from minor things. You know, some spouses can fight because the other one left their socks on the floor. And the question is that, but would this really be a major matter to be causing war in the house, you know? Some partners will be fighting because the other one ate more food than the other. Is that really a major or is that a minor? So there's a need to be able to say, let me understand and identify things I can just blow away, even if they are mistakes or even if they are just wrongs, you know. You left the tap dripping. Do I really have to be angry, you know? Is that a major? Will there be death in the house you know, or is this a problem, or am I losing my patience? Because, you know, these are questions around the issue of how we are going to build ourselves to have temperance. It means separate majors from minors. Okay, you said these are big issues. I draw the line here. Anything below this doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
It is possible to be able to label many mistakes to be of no importance.
I agree, Murut.
And that way you move to, you gravitate to a point of sobriety, to a point of controlling your anger. You mean you easily say to yourself, I'm an, and the glass broke, so this thing will happen. It doesn't warrant my anger, you know? There are couples who are probably fighting, and they have never sat down and checked what are other couples fighting about.
Yeah.
Maybe in another marriage, the war is that there was serious infidelity, you know. But in their marriage, there has never been an instance of infidelity. They are fighting over a broken glass, you know. And then you begin to say, no, but a broken glass is not really a related or marital problem.
Yeah. Fighting over the, you know, socks on the floor that I left on the floor, and what's that, the tooth paste tube that is pressed on the wrong side, and the toilet seat that is left up, and all the, I know that these things can be done, certain things can be done to stop these fights. Like if you have lifted it up, you can put it down. And if you have messed the seed, you can clean them and all that. But we are not condoning, but we can talk these things without fighting, about these things without fighting and all that. Muriti, hopefully we'll continue with it, because it starts to make sense now. And I think maybe as we continue with this, many people's marriages will be restored. But what the major cause here is lack of these fruits that you are talking about.
Yes, sir.
Kopo Bofe, your contact details, Muruti.
Oh, my contact details is 076-336-0893. Again, 076-336-0893. I can also be found in my name, Apostle Peter Muchitela, on Facebook. Thank you, sir.
Muruti,
okay, good night.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs, or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.